Yeah, so there are emphases now that I place on my work that have stemmed from this interest in IS, and that they are around teaching the British Empire, but a lot of the work that I'm involved in at the moment is specifically about the image of the other in relation to the West and the Muslim world. And so I'm involved in a project with UNESCO and also with the Council of Europe that's exploring this very issue and trying to provide teachers both in specifically the Arab world actually and Europe the tools to explore the history of the other in all its kind of complexity. So that's mm-hmm. that's what it's led to. Mm-hmm. And then aside from that is my specific interest in teaching about the British Empire.
Thank you. Finally, just wanted to mention the fact that you're director of the school's history project. We haven't talked about that at all.
No.
What do you see as the function of SHP in the modern age, the age of the new national curriculum?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've recently been appointed as director. I've been in post about a year, just over a year. And of course, I'm really conscious of the long tradition since 1972 and the way in which SHP completely transformed school history, really. And a lot of the changes that we've been talking about over the last couple of hours in terms of national curriculum and so on, a lot of those stemmed from those original thinkers in the early 1970s who cared so much about children, young people, understanding history as a discipline as well as a body of knowledge, really. And so I'm conscious of that and conscious of the way in which over the years many of those principles that were originally SHP principles have now become mainstream. And I think that's quite a challenge for us now. One of the first things I did when I took over as director was to initiate discussion about what our principles should now be, to go back to the original principles of SHP and to say what now is appropriate for SHP at this point in 2009. And that's been really interesting. We spent the whole year doing that, going back to the original principles, me having a go at drafting new principles based on those and consulting on them through the advisory group and through conference. And in fact, we've got a meeting in a couple of weeks' time where we will finalise SHP principles to take us into the future. But it's interesting that, they're obviously in final draft stage at the moment. It won't be finalised until the group's met. But many of the original starting points are still there. No, and the things that I've been talking about this morning in terms of the need to connect history to students' lives. Seems to me unless we have that, it's just really not worth doing. The need to really establish inquiry, the constructive use of historical sources, different forms of communication in history is the bedrock of school history. Diversity of content, diverse approaches, a focus on the diverse experience of people in the past. All these are absolutely critical, I think. Other dimensions are the need to focus on the historic environment as a wonderful resource for learning history. The need to take the long view. Seems to me there's just, it's ridiculous in my view, that students can spend all their time between the ages of 14 and 16 studying history entirely focused on the modern world. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if we have prescribed diversity in content at A level, students doing university degrees would be degrees in history would be encouraged to take a study of a variety of periods. We've got that prescribed diversity in primary curriculum and at Key Stage 3, and yet for some reason between the ages of 14 and 16 students are allowed just to study modern world history. Absolutely bizarre, seems to me. So providing for that diversity just of content alone seems to me what SHP should be doing. Taking the long view. You know? I think one of the most inspiring things of the first SHP was the notion of a development study, that taking one aspect of history and looking at it through great swathes of time is fundamentally a really good thing to do, and we should be supporting that. And the last thing is enjoyment through innovative pedagogy, really, and speaking, listening, and active learning, however we might describe that. But that, I think, connected to historical rigour, that youngsters might be having great fun in the history classroom, but there's a purpose behind it, and the purpose behind it is actually learning some rigorous, intellectually robust history, really. So, you know, in many respects, there's nothing new about some of these principles, but in my view, they are still insufficiently embedded in the history curriculum and in terms of every child's experience of learning history. So there's still a long way to go, and an SHP still has a strong role to play, I think, in all that.
So you're suggesting the main role is as an opinion former and an influencer of future curriculum change?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm absolutely convinced that SHP needs to maintain its distinctiveness. It needs to be a radical vehicle for change and innovation in history in the future. It needs to think about the way in which the subject needs to move forward. And just one example of that would be what we talked about in terms of creative communication. You know, at the moment we have assessment structures at 16 and 18 that are reductionist in my view and inhibit the many ways in which students can communicate their understanding of history in vibrant and meaningful and historically rigorous ways. And that's something, just one thing that SHP needs to be campaigning for over the next few years as a curriculum is reviewed.
Okay, thanks very much, Mike.
Thank you.